All right, it's Dave Plyer here on 720 WGN. So what's your TV comfort food while you're stuck inside? I know you have new shows and movies to watch on Netflix, Amazon Prime, and Hulu, but what about bringing some classic TV back into the home? Maybe some antenna TV, the shows you love, or maybe the ones you've never seen? And to talk about all this, Walter Podrazik, he's the author of the book Watching TV, joins us tonight. Wally, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, well, obviously we have a few minutes of time to pass on our schedules now.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. To talk about my favorite subject, which is classic TV. Now, my family's already getting bored, and I think we've talked about this before, but in the summertime, we for years, I've let the kids, like, I'll throw out a couple DVDs and some stuff, and I'll say, okay, you guys pick what you want to, like, let me give you the scenario for this series, you know, the Wonder Years or the Brady Bunch or Happy Days or The Fugitive, whatever it might be. And they pick it, then we'll watch it for weeks at a time, you know, in little spurts or whatever. So it's, they're not strangers to that, but I've been watching these Nickelodeon and Disney Channel sitcoms that they do. Have you ever seen any of those?
New ones.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Yeah, they're okay. I'm not their target audience, but they're okay.
Yeah. But I would rather my kids watch something fun, you know, something that they can really...
Well, the thing about the... maybe the reason we have an affection for some of these older series, I just toss a couple out, Dick Van Dyke, Bob Newhart, George Burns and Gracie Allen, is that they're not obsessed with having some complicated season-by-season overarching story to tell.
Mm-hmm, right.
You could pick up
you could jump in any order
and follow it because the characters are very clearly defined. Now, if you watch all of the episodes, I'll give an example of something I discovered when, years ago, one station in town was running all of the George Burns and Gracie Allen. So it was like 200 episodes, something like that, every night. And I watched the entire run.
Wow.
Over a period of a couple months, and I said, oh, I see this evolution here, this evolution there. Here's the episode where their son Ronnie is a guest star. And then next season, they say, oh, and Ronnie's going to be playing our son, Ronnie. And so you see, oh, those are all nice little moments, but you didn't need to see the continuity to appreciate any individual episode.
Yeah.
They knew what the characters were doing, the characters delivered, and basically it was fun.
Dick Van Dyke Show, you mentioned, that's probably my top favorite, and I think the kids absolutely love it. It's funny. It's a funny show, and, you know, it's timeless. They were written, you know, in a way that, you know, they were never referring to current events. You know, they don't look out of style. They were just really great stories. And if I was to say jump into a season, I'd say season 3. Episodes include That's My Boy, where Rob and Laura thought they were bringing home the wrong baby. Mm-hmm. I won't give that away. The Auction, where he's bidding on a painting while he's scratching his head. He has no idea. Alan Brady Presents. I spoke to Dick Van Dyke. I'm going to share a little bit of this with you. Not long ago,
sure.
We shared some great behind-the-scenes stories about the origins of the show.
They really didn't know what to call the show, and nobody really knew at that point who Dick Van Dyke was. But they settled on that. But they settled on the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Yeah, well, we couldn't think of a name. But Double Trouble and things of that kind. Everything, we thought it was pretty corny. So I think that was part of the reason we failed the first season. Nobody knew what a Dick Van Dyke was. That's what Rosemarie said when they asked her about doing on the show. She said, what's a Dick Van Dyke?
That's great. That's great. Well, speaking of which, you know, Maury Amsterdam, Rosemarie were already cast in the show. They weren't in the pilot, but they were cast for the new show. How great. What amazing talents to be able to work with, right?
I've never fallen into such a perfect blend of performer. We were like an improv group.
Yeah.
God, they were good. It was such fun.
That's awesome. And I know Mary Tyler Moore was, what, 23 years old at the time when she was auditioning?
Yeah, I was 12 years older.
Wow.
I said, God, I didn't feel a little young. But the funny thing is, on the 5 years, nobody ever said, isn't he a little old for her?
Well, and the chemistry was amazing between the two of you, but at first you weren't sure she could do comedy. I mean, that really wasn't her background, but she really did show everybody she could do it.
I know she even she didn't know she could do comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was just her time. Of course, she had Rosie and Maury and Carl Reiner, a lot of people who knew what they were doing, and it just rubbed off on her.
Well, I will tell you, I mean, the show, though, stands on its own almost 60 years later. You know, there's not, you know, and I know you know this by watching some, there's some shows that, because of dated material and so forth, it's hard to watch today. You know it's from another era. That
yeah.
show, the writing, is so amazing that it completely is one of those shows that stands up today.
That was Carl did that on purpose. He didn't want any jokes of the day, any mention of the news of the day. And even the clothes are starting to look the same again. They're coming back.
Yeah, yeah. It's true. No, it's true. It's totally true. Now, I have to tell you, when the show opens, now my kids are 14, 10, and just about 4 years old. And when
yeah.
the show starts, they pause it in the beginning, and they literally place bets. Is he going to trip? Is he going to skip around? Is he going to almost make it? Which is it going to be? And they all, I swear, they should be playing for money.
You know, a lot of people did.
Yeah.
A lot of people gambled on that.
Yeah. What a fun way, though, to just get you engaged right at the front of the show.
Yeah, it really was. Of course, Carl hadn't written any physical comedy at all, but he, out of deference to my love for it, he let me do it.
And, you know, you were mentioning earlier, first season, 39 episodes, which 39 episodes in one season is, of course, unheard of today. I mean, now they're doing like 13, 9 episodes.
I know. And, you know, Carl wrote every one of them.
Oh, it's amazing. That is absolutely
He was calling for help by the second season.
I bet he was. Now, Maury, and I know this because I've seen you perform with the Fantastics, your a cappella group, which we'll talk about in a little bit. He wrote lyrics to the show that were never published.
Never published. It's so sad. So we're spreading the word now. We sing them.
I know you do. You got. I mean, I'm going to ask you. Do you got a little bit of that for us?
Okay. So you think that you got trouble? Well, trouble's a bubble. So tell all Mr. Trouble to get lost. Why not hold your head up high and stop crying? Start trying, and don't forget to keep your fingers crossed. When you find the joy of living is loving and giving, you'll be there when the winning dice are tossed. A smile is just a frown that's turned upside down. So smile on that frown or defrost. And don't forget to keep your fingers crossed. And then I fall down.
Is that fantastic, Wally? I mean, that's why first of all, I love this guy. And I think the show is just, it's just one of my personal favorites that I definitely would share with somebody.
Well, I think you both hit on the fact that you're almost watching an improv show.
Yeah.
I mean, that's some of the brilliance of the concept. And it's not surprising since Carl Reiner cut his teeth doing the comedy variety.
Yeah. 98 years old today, by the way. 98 years old.
God bless him.
Yeah.
but yeah, when you're watching that, you realize they are having fun doing any excuse they could have to do a musical number in the office or entertain in the living room of the Petrie household and all. And it all made sense because that's what they did professionally. They were
that's
entertainers.
Right. That's
so
where they were.
Of course,
yeah.
That's what they would do.
Absolutely. We're going to talk a little bit about Johnny Carson because that's coming, that's moving time slots on Antenna TV to 9 o'clock starting on April Fool's Day, which is just appropriate. And that's another good comfort food show. We'll talk about that and much more with Wally Podrazek next on 720 WGN.
Cheesy, fresh as the daisies, just love how she obeys me, does things that just amaze me so. She smiles, presto, the rain goes. She blinks, up from the rainbow's car stops, even the train goes slow. When she goes by,
all right, it's Dave Plyer here on 720 WGN. We're talking about TV, classic TV shows that you can binge watch with Wally Podrazek. He's the author of Watching TV. Now, okay, that's some whimsical stuff. I love watching Genie and Bewitched, and my daughter loves I Dream of Genie. My youngest son loves Bewitched. When they talk to their friends, Wally, about these shows, they think like I'm abusing them by why they're like, hey, are you guys watching Bewitched? And the kids are like, what? What are you talking about?
Wait, so they don't want to admit it?
Or? No, they admit it. They just the other kids don't know what they're talking about.
Okay.
Exactly,
okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things about the choices that we have these days is that you can take any path you want. I mean, if you're some of my favorite shows growing up, or favorite movies growing up, would be like old Humphrey Bogart movies, which obviously I wasn't there when they originally played,
sure.
But they became my favorites nonetheless. And so the same thing here. And again, there's a timelessness because essentially so many of these were just excuses to do comedy skits. If there's one thing that something like a Bewitched or an I Dream of Jeannie has, it's not a lot happens to the characters, and that's good.
Oh, it's very deep. It's very deep.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
No, that's it. And yet, if you watch a lot of episodes, you'll see how much fun they are having playing with their own caricatures. That is, inevitably, there would be the doppelganger. So Elizabeth Montgomery would play her opposite number, the
Serena,
the mischievous one, and the same thing with Jeannie, where there would be Barbie, and they would put on a dark wig. Okay, now I'm the cousin, or I'm the one who's the evil one, but not really evil. It was just like I'm the troublemaker.
Yeah, exactly.
And so.
Exactly.
So all of these were having fun getting into their complicated situations, which could be solved with just the twitch of the nose or the wave of a magical hand.
Absolutely. And there's, you know, and we talk about shows that you might not have been around for the first time. And this is maybe not so much for the kids, but for yourself. Is there some great interviews? I mean, amazing interviews. Not some. They're all amazing. On Johnny Carson. Like, I caught probably the last 10 years that Johnny hosted that really consciously I watched, but I would watch Rickles when he was on in the 70s. I would watch David Letterman when he was guest hosting in the 70s. But Johnny Carson's on Antenna TV. It's moving to 9 o'clock Central Time in Chicago, which is great. And, you know, that was a guy, you know, usually turn to your late night host. Well, Three's Company there for you. Usually turn to your late night host just to have some relief, and now it's so political, you know, with Colbert and Kimmel, and not so much Jimmy Fallon, but Johnny, you maybe there was a couple jokes in the monologue, but he helped you to escape.
Well, he was the consummate professional at interviewing, having a conversation with the guests, because he just made me feel so comfortable with them, and he was also the consummate professional in the conversation with the audience. I mean, you felt like you were on the same side. You know, he was kind of winking at you, saying, let me tell you the silly thing I saw. And there was nothing better than Johnny Carson bombing because he loved doing that. Like, oh, you didn't like that one, eh? Well, let me come up with another. And you felt for him like you're on the same team. And you're saying, all right, Johnny, let's see what else you got. And you knew he was trying to please you. He was trying to tickle you. And he was, and it succeeded. And they are timeless in a weird sort of way. Like, obviously, many of these people are much older or not around, so they are definitely time stamped. But because he's so good at interviewing, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. No, you're totally right. It's just the spirit of what he's doing and the show itself. I was watching a little bit with Alex earlier in the week, my youngest son. We were watching, and I know people are going to be like, really? But let me explain this. We were watching The Waltons, and it was on inspirational television or whatever it was. And it was, you know, life like in the 1930s during the Depression. And he's asking really good questions. He's like, just fascinated by the cars, and, you know, everyone's got to go to the one store to buy what they need. And why are they all staring at the radio? That was the best question. Why are they staring at it? Like, they're all sitting there staring at the radio. I said, well, that's where the sound was coming out of. And I guess theater of the mind, they were, you know, I didn't explain that deeply to him. But I'm like, you know, but they were thinking about what those people looked like, and they were thinking about what the house looked like. So maybe they were just staring in that direction because that's where the sound was coming from. Why are they so excited about getting a phone? Didn't they have a phone? Like, they have to tie it to the trees? Like, it's fascinating. He really enjoyed that. But there's a lot of other really, you know, the Lucy shows, the I Love Lucy, the Lucy show, just silly, fun stuff. But there's some great 50s and 60s stuff like The Twilight Zone, The Fugitive, The Untouchables, that are really, really great stories.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you mentioned the quality of writing for Dick Van Dyke. But if you come to The Twilight Zone, for instance, I mean, you've got Rod Serling, who had a very successful time as a writer during the golden age of drama, doing these original dramas, these one-hour specials. But when it came to The Twilight Zone, he was basically, he figured out a way to get every controversial theme he could imagine, because it was all fantasy. It was all science fiction, so he could sneak things in that he would have to battle the network of the standards and practices or censors with. Oh, no, it's just fantasy. And then he slipped it in, and he really rose to his own professional standards, because he had a showcase that people loved.
Absolutely.
And he was the host. Which made it even more fun. I mean, it's like, how do you make an anthology work? By putting yourself as the host and introducing every episode, so you didn't even care as a viewer who the particular actor was, because Rod was there every time.
He was a staple.
Stage.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple texts, because I've got a bunch of texts coming in. I want to read share some of those in the phone call, too. 630, definitely Leave It to Beaver. I'm Gen Z, but absolutely loved it. Wow, okay. 815. I grew up in the 60s and watched Combat with Vic Morrow. Great writing, great guest stars, great stories and acting. Each episode's like a short movie. 618. Thanks very much for the great entertainment tonight through the tough times. The Brady Bunch episode, The Grand Canyon. You can't go wrong with that with your kids. 630. I'm planning on showing my kids the Dukes of Hazzard. I know it's hokey and outdated, but I remember sitting between my grandpa every Friday watching that show when I was little. I loved it, and I still want that car. Everybody wants that car. Of course they do.
Well, yeah. That's your classic live-action cartoon. I mean, it might as well have been a cartoon.
Yeah.
But you enjoyed seeing human beings on the screen going through those actions.
Absolutely. Chris, you're on 720 WGN, calling from South Carolina. How you doing?
Hey, how y'all doing out there?
Excellent. You got some show suggestions, pal?
I got plenty of shows that I want to share with you.
All right.
And all those people that's cabin fever crazy.
Yeah, tell me what they are, Chris.
Oh, yeah. What about Laverne and Shirley?
Laverne and Shirley, yeah, and Happy Days. Those are two classics, absolutely.
Yeah, I got all the episodes on DVD.
Do you really? That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
I got the Brady Bunch on DVD, too.
I've got a Brady Bunch DVD set that has shag carpeting around it.
Same here. Ding, 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 ding. I got it.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, and can you Quincy Me? You ever heard of that? Quincy Me.
I have not heard of that one either. Chris, thank you so much for calling from South Carolina. Appreciate it, pal. Let's see here. 773 is mentioning Mannix. I actually ended up watching Mannix when I was sick a couple weeks ago, so I totally get that. Can you hang on for a little bit? One more chat, Wally?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Beautiful. All right. Wally Podrazik, his book is Watching TV. We're talking about classic TV shows you can binge watch while you're stuck at home. We'll talk more next on 720 WGN. It's Dave Flyer on 720 WGN. We're talking to Wally Podrazik about classic TV shows you can watch. he tells me it's Batman about 10 seconds into it. I'm like, yeah, I think it is. So two people, 864 and 630, just mentioned the gentleman that was talking. He was talking about Quincy. Jack Klugman and Quincy was a good one. You know, that whole era with Quincy, the Rockford Files. First of all, the Rockford Files, I loved that show when I was a kid. I wanted the car. So bad.
You didn't want the beach trailer?
And you know what? The beach trailer would have been okay, too. But then I was watching, I don't know where I was. I was watching an episode of Canon, you know, like middle of the night, can't sleep. You know, sometimes I just throw on the TV. And he's like, he's got his pants pulled up to right below his chest. And he's picking up girls in a bar after he solves a crime. I'm like, really? Some of it is
a it was a different era of fantasy back then.
It might have been. And there's other classics, too. I mean, when you talk about if you really want to escape into some silliness, you know, there's like shows like, you know, Charlie's Angels and some of those others. But like, what are some of your top picks, Wally?
For me, I've always had a really strong affection for Bob Newhart. Even over Mary Tyler Moore, because Bob Newhart, I want to be Bob Newhart.
Yeah,
I want to have that deadpan, like, oh my God, the world's coming apart. I'm the only one who sees it. And all these crazy people are doing silly things around me. And I'll try saying something, and it won't do any good. So I'll just step back and enjoy it. I definitely and actually that's one of the reasons also I like George Burns and Gracie Allen. I love Gracie Allen, but I really love George Burns in the sense of his premise was to talk about the very series that he's on. It's like, I know I'm on a sitcom. Of course I know it. Here, let me tell you what's going to happen next. And that self-awareness is such that you just want to, if you're talking about binging and relaxing, that would be a perfect example.
But you talk about George Burns and Gracie Allen, like if you really want to watch something, you know, like Lucy, you know, it's so typical that people would watch I Love Lucy. And it's absolutely fabulous. But if you really wanted to watch a show that, also, it's timeless in the sense of humor because you're going to laugh. I mean, some of the situations are dated, but the Jack Benny Show, you know, is an absolute classic. I think it's one of the longest running sitcoms at like 16 years. Mm-hmm. I was looking at a couple shows that, you know, just by length, like if you really, you know, people want to binge watch a show. They're like, oh, you know, they got 30 episodes. They were on 30, you know, I'm going to watch all 30 episodes. Here's like the top number of episodes in a series, almost 700 episodes of The Simpsons. 700!
That's right. I mean, they literally did a channel that just had Simpsons episodes.
It's crazy. Gunsmoke, 635 episodes of Gunsmoke. 591 of Lassie. Wouldn't have had a clue that Lassie was on that long, I guess. Law and Order Special Victims, 474. Family Guy, 344. NCIS. Almost 400, Grey's Anatomy, almost 400, CSI. Jack Benny was 260. Ozzie and Harriet, 435 episodes. My Three Sons, 380. There's shows on Danny Thomas, almost 400 shows in some of these.
And again, what's strong about all of those is that even The Simpsons deliberately constructed self-contained episodes. In other words, at the end of any episode, any season of The Simpsons, everybody's back where they started. That is, the kids that never get older. Now, there'll be fantasy sequences where you see them in the future, you see them grown up, you see them on other planets, you're crying out loud.
Yeah.
But ultimately, they come back to the, you don't have to learn anything to watch the next episode.
No.
To watch any episode out of order. And the same thing with some of those classics you were mentioning. And you know, somebody who called in, by the way, if you want to get away from comedy for just half a second, and mentioned Combat. And he said each one was like a mini movie. Absolutely.
Really?
If
okay.
you find
Haven't
Combat
seen
okay. in there, it's... you're like watching a weekly war movie. It was amazing.
Jane from 414 says, Happy Days. 773, I can't get to the call, Ron, because we got to go to break. But Ron from Albany Park says, Cosby Show. It's a great show. I mean, despite what, you know, is about the star of the show, it was really a great family show. He also talks about the game shows. You know, watching some of the game show network, especially Match Game, I mean, there's just some classic episodes there, right? Wally Pedrazic, always a pleasure, my friend. The book is Watching TV. Where can people find you, pal?
And you can find me at mediawally.com.
All right. Thanks, pal. We'll talk soon. Be safe.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care. All right. This is History with Dave Schwann coming up next on 720 WGN.
Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating is your solution to a healthier...